You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift. Wow, stickers! A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
Sister didn't ruin your life, her illness did. Family has a way of breaking us down in little ways more often than big, and sometimes it's the little and the big all at once. And that's the case for Scott in Broken Diamonds. Scott is an aspiring writer who has bought his one-way ticket to Paris to go write his first novel. And with just a week before he's set to leave, his father passes away. And we see his dream of moving to France put in jeopardy when he's forced to temporarily take care of Cindy, his wildly unpredictable, mentally ill sister living with schizophrenia. This is a film of hearts with a dash of brutal honesty as we see Scott try to figure out what to do with his life. Broken Diamonds stars Ben Platt from Pitch Perfect, Lola Kirk from Gone Girl, and Yvette Nicole Brown from Community, along with Alfonso McLawley, Linda Boyd, and Peter Benson. I'm TC DeWitt with the Screener Squad, and joining me in this group therapy session is Melina.
Hello, I'm Melina.
Harmony.
I'm pretty broken. Pretty, but broken.
And Jordan.
Spoiler alert, this is going to turn into therapy.
Well, squad, I suppose we shall begin our emotionally loaded discussion of this indie drama. What do you say? Good or bad? Let's find out.
One of my personal favorites of this year. I've honestly been in the shoes of both Ben and his sister. Mm-hmm. I've had to put away so many of my own things to help out, which I've been, you know, glad to do. But, you know, there's only so much you want to do because you need your own life. But I have also been in her shoes because I am mentally ill. I have my own fucking problems. And I was committed for about a week or so after a very, very bad episode.
That's what this movie does. It explores both sides of this type of relationship so incredibly well.
It does it too well. I've been Zoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, because I was almost forgetting it. I've also been doubted because of my past problems, because
a movie like this, it makes it a little difficult to be amusing and wacky. Let's hear our fun review, because this is heavy subject matter. However, this movie does do a really fine job of keeping it sweet and light, and you can't help but smile and laugh through a couple. At least I couldn't through much of this.
Yeah.
And I think that helps support the heavier stuff that this culminates in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I thought, one of the many smart decisions that this movie made. I completely agree. Like, the big thing that I wrote down in bold in my notes was that this movie is so honest about dealing with mental illness, not just schizophrenia. I mean, I like the fact that this could have been about any disorder or hang up. I'm like, this could have been about substance abuse. This could have been about depression or bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. It could have been about, you know, poverty. It could have been anything. Really, what it ultimately comes down to is how the person dealing with whatever this hang up is and how the people around them, especially their family, are dealing with each other as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about it, it sounds like, oh my God, this sounds like dark and heavy handed. Why would I ever want to watch this? It's just going to make me depressed. But one of the really smart decisions it makes is that it keeps it funny. It keeps it light. It's not trying to make you sad. It's not trying to make you upset. It's just trying to paint a portrait of what this dynamic is. And at the end of it, I was like, wow, that was just kind of a really nice, really refreshingly honest take on something that Hollywood loves to dress up as something that it's not.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Or drag out the story or make kind of ridiculous conclusions. And I don't think that was the case with this movie. I also watched the movie with a friend of mine that has a psychology degree, and I just invited him over to watch it with me because I actually have not met any schizophrenics. I mean, I've been hospitalized myself because of depression. And so I was able to speak, it was kind of weird that her medicines were just out. Like, that would never happen in a residential facility. That bothered me, but that was like the only thing that bothered me about the movie. But
that bothered me too. It's like, no, they hand it to you. That's what
they hand it to you.
They don't just have it at sitting your desk.
They check that you take it.
Yeah, that's what my case was. It's like, these are the medications I'm on, and these are when I have to take them. And I've been around schizophrenia, and it's like, okay, that's almost too good of capturing it.
This movie is really well timed because I think in the past year and a half or so, people have become more aware of just how much of a struggle people have mentally. We put up so many fronts, we put up so many falsehoods and our image online, being trapped inside for so long. I think a little more empathy was created in the world. So by presenting this movie without it being the typical Hollywood big screaming matches and big breakdown moments, just very real presentation, especially after the year we've had. This is a movie that I feel is going to be much more relatable now than it maybe would have been a couple years ago, because people are more open about discussing this sort of stuff now. I as well have suffered from depression and medicated for it.
Something I found really interesting was the idea that you get into a routine with anything, correct? So in your life, you have your routines, and as things happen, like unexpected things, whether it's a death in the family or in our real life case, the pandemic, it throws everything out of whack, and all your plans that you've made are thrown to the wayside.
You're not going to France.
So really good. Yeah, exactly. You're not, maybe not. So, and I think that was true with us in the pandemic, that we all were trying really hard. So let's try to, even like now, trying to get back to normal, and it's still not normal. And all our plans are still up in the air. I think I've made that connection with this movie, is that it's timely and it feels real for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, for me, I've suffered from, you know, anxiety for pretty much most of my life. I've never been in the situation that Lola Kirk's character is in, and that many people have been in. But I've had friends, I've had family members, I've had close friends and family members who have had to go through that. So I so related to Ben Platt's character, Scott, the whole way through, because one of the other great things about this is that it depicts what it's like to be close to someone who's dealing with something like that in a way that, again, Hollywood rarely ever does.
A caretaker.
Exactly. Yeah, being a caretaker or being close, where it's like Hollywood typically likes to portray it as either the person's like just abusive or neglectful, or they just don't understand what's going on. Whereas this guy really just doesn't want to deal with it because it's just too much for him to deal with.
Right.
And it does not portray him as a bad person.
No.
And nor does any other character, including the sister, for being like that. It's just, as human beings, we have limits, or what we perceive as limits, to what we can handle. And he is just like, I have that boundary that I've set. I don't want to cross it. And now I'm forced into a situation where I have to. What do I do from here? And that is a situation that I have definitely dealt with.
And yeah, and that is how I related to Ben a lot. It's like, what do you want me to do?
What do you do in a situation like this? That's what the movie challenges you.
Also being doubted like Zoe, you know, and executive dysfunction is a real fucking bitch, because you just can't decide what is the most important thing to do at the moment.
Yeah.
I badly relate to those characters that way. But also, I really do love Yvette Nicole Brown. Always do. But here
yes. Yeah.
She's so motherly.
Oh, yes.
She's so like, I want you to comfort me.
an absolute delight. And how, you know, it also accurately portrays like what someone in her position.
A stepmother. What sort of responsibility do you have to estranged children?
Yeah.
Which the movie presents really well.
Yeah.
The conflict and the drama isn't clashes. It isn't these bombastic scenes of screaming at each other. It's these very real, just these honest portrayals of these people stuck in their roles and just trying to live their lives.
Yeah.
I used to say, oh, you can count on one hand how well mental illness has been depicted ever since, like, Silver Linings Playbook, which was then became my go-to example of, like, this is how you accurately portray this shit. There's been more.
Yeah, it's so good.
But now, I can't make the joke that you can count it on one hand. Now,
there's more, yeah.
Yeah, because now people are actually doing research. They're actually portraying nuance.
It used to be mental situations were presented as some sort of superpower.
Yes.
Or Benny and June. Very. Oh, it's so cute.
I'm not going to go on too much of a sideline here, but I just got done reviewing a movie where mental illness was definitely portrayed in a very, like, pseudo superhero way, where it's like, hey, look what you can do with this. Isn't that awesome? And I'm like, well, granted, it's fun for this movie, and I'm not going to decry the film for it, but I do have to flip that switch when I watch it, because I'm like, that's not how this is. It actually is a lot more complex than that. It certainly does not turn the person into a superhero. It is something that they really have to struggle to overcome. Mm-hmm.
And the people around them have to struggle, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is fun for what it is, because it's portraying this knowingly as a cartoon, but to flip totally around and see something like this where it portrays mental illness is some in such an honest, realistic way. I went to school for psychology, so to see this was just like, ironically, a very big breath of fresh air. I was like, oh, thank God, they're actually just showing this as something what it is. It's not a beautiful mind. It is just something that people deal with like everybody else.
Not Rain Man.
I'm not the fucking kid from Mercury Rising. Shout out to the five people that still remember that movie. This movie gets real in, like, the best sense. And I was a bit worried with Ben Platt, because I'm not the biggest fan of Dear Evan Hansen. Like, that story just grosses me out completely. But here he's honestly fantastic.
Yeah, the performances in this are really strong from Ben Platt and Lola Kirk, who I'd only seen Ben Platt in Pitch Perfect, which he plays a fun little side character in that. I'd never seen
Goofy
Lola Kirk
character,
before.
Well, have you seen Gone Girl?
Yes, yeah. Once I looked her up, I was like, oh, I recognize
her. Yeah, she's in Gone Girl. She's the one who robs Rosamund Pike.
Yes, exactly. And once I looked her up, I was like, oh, there she is. But the two of them have such great chemistry together, and it really feels like actors who did their homework. And the movie itself did its homework, because this movie ends, the closing credits show a group therapy session of people who both suffer from some form of mental illness or mental situation, and family members of people who have allies. And
that was beautiful.
Wonderful to see. When I saw the credits start rolling and how much time was left, I thought, what are they going to show us here? And then it was that
because
session.
There's not a whole lot to the movie, like, in sets or, you know, like, it's very...
Yeah, it's very local. Yeah.
You know, it's not a huge explosion. Why is the credits, like, 20 minutes long? Oh, it's because we're going to watch a therapy session while we're
and
at it.
And this movie progresses... so naturally. I especially do love the entire third act, where it escalates, but naturally given the situations. Even the last scene before the end credits, where they're talking to each other, is like just very sweet.
That was beautiful.
The only character and scene that drew me out a bit was the Hollywood friend. The Hollywood friend.
Right.
Her performance felt very shallow, which works for the character. But because Ben Platt and Lola Kirk were really well realized, I felt she, especially her, like, manager agent character, who was such a caricature.
Right.
Oh, God. What a jerk. Yeah. I felt that for like a split second. And then I was like, okay, no, I understand why they're portraying them like that. Because I've actually met people like that.
I
know people who are like
that. And I will meet people like that in the future, hopefully.
But it did culminate nicely, because as caricature-y as those two were, when Zoe runs into what essentially was her ex-boyfriend or ex-fling at the party, that guy, for the 2 minutes he was on screen, handled that realization that this girl was broken so well. It's this very quiet, subtle moment, which this whole movie is full of, where you see it in his eyes. Well, these two Hollywood people are being completely vapid, oblivious, almost making fun of her. He's got this great look in his eyes, and the realization is there. And then there's a great reoccurring joke that people always ignore. Ben, who's standing right there, or Scott,
yes,
who's standing right there, like, oh, Scott, I didn't see you there. Well, I've been standing here the whole time.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, I thought one of the other great things that this movie did, without ever resorting to exposition or let's just stop for like 5 minutes and just illuminate backstory. How this dynamic works. Backstory, yeah. They are very subtle, and it's like little hints along the way to show what Scott's life has been like as a result of his sister's illness. Mm-hmm. And that is very true for people, especially younger siblings of those mm-hmm. who have mental disorders, especially severe ones like schizophrenia, which you could argue is probably the most severe.
And also schizophrenia doesn't show up until your late teens or mm-hmm. 20s exactly. too. So it's very realistic that it's like kind of, you know, maybe not idyllic, but a nice childhood. And then all of a sudden it just gets thrown out of whack.
Yeah. Especially in women. It tends to, it can show up in as late as your 30s, where it's like up to that point. Yeah. It's very scary. And it's one of the misunderstood diseases. Unfortunately, Hollywood kind of has something to do with that. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that they show how, he has struggled as a result mm-hmm. of this, as just someone on the sidelines. And in a way that's not unrelatable and not something that the movie asks him to get over.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, well, forget your problems because her problems are bigger. It's like, no, if you have someone like that who's suffering, you're going to suffer too. And you're not wrong.
It's like, look, I sympathize, but I do have my own shit going on. Mm. Empathy is a very limited resource in mm-hmm. every human being. All right. And it can be...
Compassion fatigue mm-hmm. is the word. Yeah.
It can be depleted very quickly.
The movie doesn't make you feel sorry for them in so much as you're right. You empathize with them and you can relate with them.
And you can see both sides.
Exactly.
Like you're not just rooting for Scott and you're not just rooting for Zoe. You're rooting for them together. But even if that's together works against each other. You know what I mean? Like it's absolutely. You can see how
it's such a difficult situation for everyone.
Chances, changes might have to be made. Yeah.
Even Cookie, Yvette Nicole Brown's character, mm-hmm. I left like, I get it. You're distancing yourself for a reason. Like it makes sense. I don't feel any ire towards
her. Right. No, I get it.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go into some final thoughts here. Jordan, I'd love for you to go first.
Absolutely love this movie. It's one of my favorites of this year. I didn't expect this to hit quite as hard. I mean, it just gets too real right away. And having been in the shoes of both main characters who are excellently well acted, I kind of did have to pause the movie for like maybe a minute or two. And it's not a long movie. It's like
90 minutes.
Yeah, about 90, 91 minutes. So it'll be a good watch to get through. You can probably just get through it in one sitting. Well directed, too, and brilliantly written. Just, I absolutely love this movie. It's one of my new favorite go-to examples of, look, this is how you should portray mental illness, and this is how you should be able to make people understand it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 burnt passports.
Harmony?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. It was uncomfortable, which I think a good movie like this should be, especially if you can relate to the characters on either side. And it's a very tender movie. There's a little bit, but there's not a whole lot of witty repartee, or there's not, here's some wacky montage-y music and we're having fun, thing. I mean, there's a little bit of that, but it's not like the meat of the movie. It's really these tender, earnest moments between these characters. And it was lovely to see. Like I said, the only thing that annoyed me was the medication, and it took me a little bit to get past that just because it made me upset. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Why is this a thing? But I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 see-through sweaters.
Oh, jeez.
I want that sweater.
I know, right?
Well, Melina, aside from now knowing you want that sweater, what other final thoughts do you have about this movie?
You guys have pretty much said over and over exactly what I loved about this, and that is just how human it is and how honest it is in how respectfully it treats this dynamic, which is a very tricky and very complex dynamic when dealing with mental illness. And it's so refreshing to see it done in such a tasteful way. It's not like Hollywooditis, as I like to call it, which is basically where you just like puke up a bunch of symptoms and you just say, okay, well, this is what this person has. And as a result, I think people end up misunderstanding it. This is a movie that is telling you, you have to try to understand, you know, when you are a caregiver or when you are close to someone who's dealing with this, or if you're just a viewer of a film, the best thing that you can do, despite all of the mishaps along the way, is that you just have to try to understand this person and you have to have empathy. And man, it just hit close to home, but in the best way possible. It's definitely a film that I would recommend to everyone, but in very specific ways. I'm like, okay, yeah. Maybe if you're in this kind of mood, sit down and watch something like this, because it's worth your time. Absolutely.
If you're right out of the living residence situation, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely adored this. I thought it was just so loving and sweet. And so I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 tuna fish sandwiches in Tupperware.
There you go. This is a beautiful, bittersweet, tender is a perfect word for it. Look at the life of two sides of mental illness. The person struggling to live with it and the person who loves them so much that they'll stick by their side and try to live their life too. It's funny in very real and lovely ways while sweetly holding back on the pain that these people suffer, showing us those moments sometimes in silence and only enhanced by the very good score that this movie has. And all that layered truth with the chuckles and the sadness allow the emotional impact of the story to land just right by the end of the third act, going into the culmination of this whole thing. I could point to other movies that deal with cancer or HIV as comparable films, but there's something special about films that choose to discuss mental illness without resorting to the gross Hollywood characterization of mental illness. The only film I could think to point to as a comparable to this was Skeleton Twins, which is similar in that it deals with siblings and the pain of life and death and mental instability. Ben Platt and Lola Kirk are perfectly cast and do such a great job, especially in those quiet, wordless moments that we get throughout the film. They don't turn Zoe into a manic pixie dream girl, and they don't paint him as some hero trying to overcome this put-upon-life challenge. They are real people. And this movie never gets so dramatic that it needs those screaming or crying moments. It's quiet and much more subtle and raw than a lot of movies that attempt to do the same thing. It's touching. I liked this. I had a good cry because of this and because of the weight of it and that it has an uplifting message by the end of it. And that's rare, especially in such an indie film dealing with such a rare topic. So I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. Ice cream cone fails.
There were a couple of those in here.
Although, to go off what Harmony said, when I was discharged and you did show me this movie, I'd be like, okay, well, just take me back right now. I'm not dealing with this shit.
Right? maybe not right now.
I want to close this review by saying to anyone listening who might be struggling with mental health or depression, or if you feel like you're alone, you know this, but it's always worth reminding. LaWayne from this site is so good on his social media about constantly saying, someone will listen, someone is out there, you have support. And as we've all just admitted here, we, the four of us alone, have come from places of needing the help. And while I know one of us reviews tend to be funny and silly and whatnot, I think it's worth mentioning that there is help out there and you aren't alone. Even if you just want to hit up one of us four to unload your weirdness on, I nominate Jordan.
But I'll absolutely.
Thank you, everyone.